This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five oh six on a very, very rainy evening. I hope you're all driving safe out there. And today is World Press Freedom Day. We might actually have better reason to celebrate it this year. Malaysia moved up 22 spots on Reporters Without Borders World Press Freedom Index. We're currently at 123 out of 180 countries, and we're the highest ranked in ASEAN. Further, the government and some stakeholders are also in the midst of forming a media council. So it might seem like a very rosy picture, but there are still a lot of problems and challenges ahead for journalism and media freedom in Malaysia. We still have laws that are anti-free speech in nature, like the Official Secrets Act, the Sedition Act, and the Printing Presses and Publications Act. So there's just a lot more issues than there are really bright spots, I believe, here in Malaysia.
You just mentioned those three acts, which they cross across each other a little bit, but where if one doesn't get you, the other one will. And I'm sure there are other laws again. One of the things with the Media Council, so other countries have something similar. The UK has something similar. I'm not sure about America. And it sounds like a good thing. It has its strengths, but it has to be reactive. So if an article is out there that causes a storm, then the Media Council will step in, theory going, to judge its merits according to the laws of the land. It does not, it's not as if every single piece of news making that is made passes through the Media Council for processing and judgment.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't necessarily be an end to anything. And it does rely on the Media Council players, the journalists, the editors, the
publishers,
etc., having a certain amount of strength to be players on the scene. And in this country, we don't have an equivalent to a Washington Post that broke the Watergate story that brought down President Nixon. You know, we had The Edge a few years ago that did help break the 1MDB story and got shut down for, 18 months for its pains. That might be considered a strong media player, but I don't know if the other members of the council would be a potential council, would have that kind of legitimacy and strength and too big to fail kind of quality.
So the point of the Media Council is essentially being able to, for the industry to check up on itself. If someone has complaints about a certain piece, maybe their statement was misrepresented, or if it's about the ethics of certain media members, then I guess if that's the case, small steps can be taken to improve that if the final goal is eventually to bring the industry to a standard that we see in the likes of Australia, that we see in the likes of the UK and the US, then that's a good thing. It's like a collective training conference session for everyone. But if this, the proposed idea, and they're still trying to work out what it actually is supposed to do, is to just act as another check and balance for the industry, I'm not sure how far that's going to take us at the moment.
Well, and also you have to bear in mind that there's an enormous gap, a disconnect between the media players, between the journalists, who are all based in all based in Kuala Lumpur.
Yes.
And the politically important districts in this land who are not the consumers of that media. And their news stories will come from the sources that they get. So the people who are going to be creating the scandals, potentially there's always going to be some, will be the media players based in Kuala Lumpur.
Yep.
The people who then judge this will be compatriots in Kuala Lumpur. But the people who will be offended by it probably going to be not in Kuala Lumpur, not people who have purchased this media, not on a regular basis. And they are the ones who are also politically important. These are the voting public that is to be watched and to be assuaged and pleased.
Right. So then the concern there could be that, oh, well, could this council be slightly more elitist in nature because it's based in urban centres?
Well, it would be, yes. I mean, if you describe it like that, yes. But the people who actually purchase their media, the ones who they're writing for, they have a public.
Yep.
And that public is legitimate. They pay for the services. But the chances are that if they scrutinise the government or indeed opposition forces and upset people, they would be from a different market. And I don't know how much that market spends on news gathering.
Hmm. After this, we're going to get an overview of press freedom in Malaysia with someone who's been observing the media landscape for a while. So stay tuned for that. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Cam. So to celebrate World Press Freedom Day, we're going to catch up on how the media is doing with Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Gayathri, thanks so much for joining us. Over the past year, Malaysia has jumped 22 places in the World Press Freedom Index to 173rd place globally. What have you personally noticed about how the media has changed in Malaysia ever since GE14?
So, firstly, about the index itself, I think, you know, on a general level, of course, these are useful index just to get a sense of where countries are located in terms of press freedom. So while it seems that we've jumped a lot, we've been at that position before. So it's been sort of an up and down over the last, ever since 2002. And I think what is important actually is for us to also be critical about what the reasons are for some of the jump. I think I would say that as a sense of a hope, maybe that's what the index does, which is to sort of recognize that the political change from 2018 offers a sense of hope, offers opportunities. But I think when it comes to fundamental changes, there are still a lot of things that need to be done. In fact, the key areas have not been addressed. I would stress on the legal environment because that is so important, you know, for the media to be able to operate without fear of any kinds of repercussion. So the laws on printing, licensing, conditions for broadcasters, you know, that hasn't actually changed. So we can celebrate at some point, but I think we need to recognize that it takes a lot more to actually see real improvements in terms of press freedom. A lot still needs to be done to make sure that media are able to cover stories that can be difficult, that are important to ensure good governance, that is able to keep the government in check, and to be able to have really the kind of diverse voices that is important in any kind of transition.
Malaysia is also in the process of setting up a media council for the industry to self-regulate and to keep government interference at bay. A draft is already available. How will the media council function and what will it do?
The Media Council is really a way of saying, look, we are dealing here with information. We are dealing here with content that is useful for the public, for those in power as well. And it's very important to ensure that the media can operate independently and ethically. The work of news media in particular should not be regulated by law. Because there's an overwhelming function in terms of being a watchdog of the government and other institutions. So rather than having a set of laws to say this should be written, this shouldn't be written, it needs to be regulated by a set of code of ethics or code of conduct, which is best done through a kind of a self-regulation mechanism. And that's what a media council is supposed to be, which is to say, we all agree in the media and also civil society, here's a set of code of ethics to ensure that the content subscribes to a certain standard. And if there's any problems, if there's any violation of those codes, there ought to be an opportunity to hear out those who are complaining and those who are reporting. So you have a kind of a mechanism that allows for actually, I think, very detailed and intellectual discussion about what society needs in terms of information. So fundamentally, a media council allows for the kind of independent checks for the media and in a way also upholds what I think is an important value, which is press freedom. So the move to have a media council, I think, is good. I do think there are some problematic areas in terms of how the structure is and who participates in it and what its goal is. But I think it's really a good first step to get people to discuss how do we keep the media in check, because there is a benefit for us as public and voters.
One of the concerns here is how can it be ensured that over time the Media Council remains effective and independent?
Yeah, I think a lot of countries do face this. Countries that have independent mechanisms for the media. One of the biggest challenges is, of course, funding. And in many places, in fact, there is government or public funding, not government, but public funding, because we recognize the values. But how do we make sure that the government then doesn't interfere in that process? That's actually a main area of challenge, and not only government funding, but in cases where it's open to other kinds of sponsorship or fundraising. So money will always be an issue in terms of whether the council can be independent. Again, if we don't have clarity or if we don't have the commitment to say that really, you know, the media needs to be free from all kinds of interference, and that includes also corporate interference. So state interference and corporate interference, we really need to keep it outside of this council. It cannot influence the decision. So, for example, when I look at the draft that's been put out, there's a significant participation of owners, and that's problematic. Owners should not be sitting in a council because owners need to be held accountable, actually, for their decision. So I think we need to look at independence from the financial contributions. Can we be independent of who's providing the funds? We need to think about independence in terms of the decision-making from those who have the power, and also for the council to be able to come up with decisions that is of credibility and is authoritative, so that, you know, all the members or those who are affected actually accept those decisions.
Earlier, I talked about the need to abolish some laws that are restricting free speech, but the government has been saying they might amend them instead. So in your opinion, would amendments be able to change these laws so that they don't restrict free speech, or do you think they just have to go?
The Printing Presses and Publications Act has to go, lock, stock and barrel. There's really no justification to keep any part of it. I think there are arguments coming from the bureaucracy maybe, or some sections about national security. The media should never be parked in any kind of national security consideration. It really should be repealed without any you know, sort of controversy. With the Sedition Act, there's been a promise to repeal. I think that law has to go as well. I don't see why we are sort of like going back and forth, because these are problematic laws. The Official Secrets Act, I believe, I mean, my view is that it has to go. It can be replaced with the Freedom of Information Act, which actually also contains protections for really legitimate documents that need to be protected. So I think that also needs to be expedited. I would say that if they don't want to reveal the OSA, maybe consider amending it to really remove the kind of arbitrary powers that currently exist under the law. But I would say it's best to think about an open regime with exceptions that are legitimate. And the other one that's important is the Communications and Multimedia Act. I think overall the law has a lot of very important provisions. I think there is a need to look at it thoroughly where it affects the media and also expression. So I think there's a lot of room for amendments in the CMA, the Communications and Multimedia Act. I think the other three really should be repealed. But we need to talk about this a lot more. I think we need to see this sort of move to repeal done really soon. It's always difficult because on the political side, they want to weigh maybe what the benefits are, where they want to prioritize, which I understand. But if you talk about the environment for the media, I think these are, in my view, easy wins to repeal these laws and amend the CMA.
Deputy Communications and Multimedia Minister Edin Shazli was recently quoted saying that the laws that we mentioned can be used to take action against the media if they quote-unquote cause confusion among the public. How did you read that statement?
Two things there. One is that we have a fundamental problem with what and who defines what is confusion, what is public order, what is, you know, threats. We have seen in numerous cases where you find legitimate criticism and dissent being sort of put out as sources of threat. And it's disproportionate often. So when you have someone expressing their views, the response of the state in many of these cases we have seen is to jail them. It's totally disproportionate. In a healthy democracy, you need people to be able to argue, to debate. You may not agree with them, but this is really critical for public discourse. It seems to be an overall position taken by the government that, yes, there is a reason, there is a need to control social media, to monitor social media, to get media owners to, moderate their comments, because you view even dissent, legitimate dissent, as problematic. And I think that arbitrary that definitions and decision-making need to be taken out of the law. It cannot be done that way. Second is, I think there is some ground, there are grounds in which we must protect people who are affected, especially in a very negative way, because of speech. But I think we need to be a lot more discerning in terms in what we are analyzing, because at this moment it is overwhelmingly for the benefit of those in power. We need to actually get people to stop thinking about how to protect those in power, and actually think about sections of society that are actually adversely affected by some kinds of speech as well, which can require some intervention, and I think they should. So I'm not disagreeing with him entirely, but I think we need to be critical of what the deputy minister as well as the others are saying, and at least let us make recommendations or discuss where indeed we want to be able to make those interventions. And laws are not always the best first port of call, I would say. It takes a lot of work also to get people involved in dialogues, in discussions, to calm the situation down. It takes many, many different efforts and not just the law.
Before you go, Gayatri, what's your wish this World Press Freedom Day?
I think what is more significant given the last year is having more people talk about what they expect from the media, what they don't want from the media. It doesn't have to be a wrong or right discussion, but I think it's so important to have more people even questioning, if this is indeed where news is important for them, what kinds of stories would matter for the public. Because I think we've had a disconnect for many, many years as a result of many things, including, being disillusioned by the mainstream media, or, having just different preferences. I mean, not everybody reads the news every day diligently. But I think the opportunities presented should allow people to talk more about it. I mean, is this what we want as Malaysians? Are we happy with the fact that we have these kinds of media structures? Are we happy with the fact that different languages sometimes don't interact with each other? Are we happy that as long as we read stories about Najib trial, we think everything is great, should we be demanding for more? So I think a message for the World Press Freedom Day would be, this is our opportunity, right? To say, this is the direction in which we want our media to head, because this is what we value in terms of our political future. And I think this talks like this or shows like this should encourage people to join in the conversation. I mean, it's a learning process for many, many people. I hope that the change has made people more interested and more, I guess, invested in the media and particularly in journalism in Malaysia.
Gayatri, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Gayatri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nautica, Malaysia. So you heard from Gayatri about the need for everyone to get involved in the conversation. And we would love to hear from you. Tell us what kinds of stories you want to read or hear more about in the media. And also, do you think this brief golden press era right now in Malaysia Baru will last? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Interesting you should ask, do you think it'll last?
You don't think it'll last?
I don't think it'll last. I hasten to add that I have no inside knowledge. This is just a feeling, but I think that there will be a backlash to these kind of freedoms that some people seem to be enjoying, and others will feel they shouldn't enjoy those things.
Well, given that some recent surveys would suggest that we prefer laws that are harsher in nature, I would be inclined to agree with you, but fingers crossed, we do have a lot of people who hold higher principles in government, and I'm hoping that they stick to that.
Oh, you're so naive.
Cam, please.
You're young.
Don't brush away this optimism. You can let us know what you think. Do you agree with Cam or do you disagree with him? Do you think this golden era and this brief moment in time, will it end soon? Mm. Will it ever end? Call, text, WhatsApp. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.